Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
What's so great about reading picture books with children is just opportunities for them to see themselves or something they relate to. I think it is so powerful.
There's a lot more books for our types of families, which is amazing. I don't think you can't have enough. The issue is our families need to have the same type of representation as all other kind of like heteronormative families.
There just can't be too many LGBTQ+ family books.
Is it for everybody or is it just for, you know, gay parents? No, absolutely, it's for everybody.
Welcome one and all to Some Families, the podcast that celebrates all LGBTQ+ families. This week is World Book Day on the 4th of March, and we are using the opportunity to finally celebrate one of our favourite things that we love to talk about. It's books.
It is. It's Book Week, and this is our book special episode. Hello, I'm Lottie, by the way.
And I am Stu. Hello.
We've been really looking forward to this episode because books, as a published author myself, as we've discussed previously on this podcast.
Oh my God, you've got a book out, Lottie.
Yes, I do.
I never would have known.
Just quickly on Book Week, my daughter's not of an age yet that we have to dress her up as anything and take her anywhere. But do you have that stress that I see on Instagram of parents being like, it's Book Week and we don't forgot about it and we've got to put a hat on her and say she's the Cat in the Hat?
Yeah, so this year I've been really excited for, but it's kind of crept on us too quickly again, and you've reminded me that tomorrow I need to get my Amazon Prime order in, is that last year, and I completely missed out on it, I was desperate to dress the kids up because we've got three of them, and because of their ages, I'm desperate to dress them up as Wendy, Michael and John from Peter Pan.
Oh, nice.
Super simple. And we've got like the Nana dog.
Oh, I can't wait to see the pictures of that.
Yeah, I think I need to make it happen. Thank you for the reminder. I might just pop off mid podcast and do a little Amazon.
If we lose Stu, he's
that's where I am. What would you do? What would your daughter?
Oh my God!
What would be the outfit?
She'd have to be
a gentlewoman.
She's the complete opposite. She's like would have to be some completely rambunctious wild child, and she could be Max in Where the Wild Things Are. She'd be good at that.
I have a Max onesie in my wardrobe somewhere.
For yourself?
Yes, for myself.
Okay.
I don't think it would fit your daughter. It was from a campaign I did years ago. We digress. I'm really excited to be talking to you about books, Lottie, because I feel this has been a long time coming for us. And this is definitely the first of many specials that I think that we will do around the subjects of books.
Yes, we spoke about it before Christmas, didn't we? So if you haven't listened to this already, go and listen to our Christmas episode if you're feeling like you want to relive the joy of Christmas, because we had a good fun chat and recommended some books in that episode.
Yeah, there are so many books that are perfect for LGBTQ+ families. We wanted to celebrate an established book that's out there and also a new book that is coming. So in order to do this, Lottie and I, we've split up this week.
Don't worry, everyone, we're getting back together.
It's not an uncoupling, but we became roaming reporters and we've chatted to some wonderful authors to get the lay of the land of what it takes to write an LGBTQ+ children's book. And I spoke to Carolyn Robertson, who I was really excited to speak to. For those who don't know, wrote and self-published Two Mums and a Menagerie and Two Dads.
And I spoke to Gary and Gareth, who have a new book coming out called My Daddies, and it's published by Penguin Random House, and it's one of the first major publishing houses to publish an LGBTQ plus children's book.
Hurrah! Well done, Penguin. Well done. Before we share our On the Road reports, Lottie, I just want to check in. What are some of the favourite books that you're reading at the moment, either to yourself or to your daughter?
Okay, well, my daughter is obsessed with books. She's 2.5, and we have to put her in bed at night with a book, and she just sits up on her own. She can't read, obviously, but she'll just sit with the book, and she's really into Lift the Flap books at the moment, but she lifts the flaps, like, so officiously, and she just, like, reads the same book over and over and over again, making up the story as she goes along. So she kind of, I mean, both her parents are writers, so maybe this is our influence, but if we start reading a book to her, she gets angry with us and wants to read it herself.
She's a budding author.
She does love telling stories. So at the moment, we're in like Lift the Flap book land, and I have yet to find a Lift the Flap book that in any way celebrates LGBTQ plus families. You could have one though. You could have like Lift Who's Under the Flap. It's a gay adoptive single dad.
Ta-da!
But the book that she loves that does have a family that I think she relates to is called Heather Has Two Mummies, and it's a picture book that was published in 2015. So it's actually quite old, come to think of it. And it's by a woman called Leslie Newman. And it's just a really sweet story. And she has two mummies, and she goes to school, and everybody talks about their different kinds of families.
Are they mommies?
They're mommies. Yeah, mommies. They're mommies. But then I also wanted to talk about a book for grown-ups that I've read that I think is truly fantastic. It's quite intellectual read. It's called The Argonauts, and it's by a writer called Maggie Nelson. And I read it before my daughter was born, and she is in a relationship with a gender non-conforming person who has a child already. And then she goes through IVF and they have a child. But the way she talks about bodies and pregnancy and being queer, and she brings in a lot of like literary theory, philosophy, psychoanalysis, and the writing itself is really lyrical. And she quotes a lot of like Roland Barthes and critical thinking. So it's a really, really interesting and wonderful book, and I'd really recommend people read it. And also, of course, Alexandra Hemmingsley's book Somebody to Love, that I think I also spoke about in our Christmas episode, and is the story of her husband transitioning from male to female just after her first child was born. So that's also a great read for grown-ups.
I'm really looking forward to reading that one.
What about you, Stu? What are you reading to the kids or reading yourself?
We got the kids a whole new load of books for Christmas. And there's one actually that I just wanted to shout out. It's not an LGBTQ plus book, but it was one that I thought was great to mention because I really love it. And the kids really love it as well. It's called The Proudest Blue. And I don't know if you've heard of it.
No, what's it about?
Written by an Olympian, Ibti Hazar Mohammed. I hope I've pronounced your name correctly. It's about a little girl who watches her sister go to school wearing her hijab for the first time, and watches her sister get bullied within the school. And it's just this really beautiful book about acceptance, and also how that a child who is potentially faced with adversity at school through having something different about them can overcome that. It's beautifully illustrated, it's beautifully told, and the kids absolutely love it as well. So I just wanted to share that one.
That sounds great. I will definitely add that to my list.
The other one is one actually we did talk about on our Christmas episode as well. Plug, go back and listen. That is Princess Kevin, which since the Christmas episode, I read with my son all the time and he loves it. And it's about a little boy who wants to dress up as a princess at his school's kind of, it's like their book day where everyone comes dressed in as a particular character. It's really gorgeous, and it's got a twist at the end as well. I mean, it's not really a twist, it's a kid's book, but it's still super sweet. And I think it's really resonating for him because if you remember, listener, he does like to wear dresses himself. So it's kind of validated his own being, as it were, by seeing himself represented in Princess Kevin. Bless him.
Oh, that's what's so great about reading picture books with children, is just opportunities for them to see themselves or something they relate to. think it is so powerful.
Yes, so Lottie, I got to speak to Carolyn Robertson, who I've been really looking forward to speaking to her because she wrote the book Two Dads that is popular in our house. It's been one of our longest books that we've had. And we talked to her about the book and how she set up her own publishing company, which is called Sparkly Poo. The clue, listener, is in the name.
Some families look completely different from each other, but that doesn't mean that they don't love each other to the moon and back.
Welcome, Carolyn, to Some Families. Hello.
Hello, lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too. I actually wanted to start, Carolyn, I wanted to show you something. So this is our second copy. And for listener at home, I am showing Carolyn my dog-eared, roughed up copy, second copy, I might add, of Two Dads, which, as you can see, and I don't know if you can quite see via the camera, Carolyn, is so battered up because we have read it so many times.
Oh, and that's wonderful.
And my kids literally know it off by heart. And so I just wanted to kickstart by saying a huge thank you, because your book does mean an awful lot to us and our family. And it's really, like, the word adoption just rolls off the tongue of my children now. And for that, it's just such a wonderful tool.
Oh, that's really lovely. Thank you.
For not just our family, but every family out there. But before we jump into all of your wonderful publishing adventures, do you want to start by introducing yourself to our listener and tell them a little bit about who you are?
I am Carolyn Robertson, and I was formerly a teacher, and then we adopted our first son. Gosh, he's 13 now, he's huge. We adopted him when he was just under one. Then I think I worked about 4 or 5 years more, and then we adopted our second son. And after that, I decided to give up teaching. It was just a bit too difficult. And I was a bit bored at home, because parenthood is wonderful, but it's also really monotonous. I'm boring at times. I just needed to keep my mind busy. And as a primary school teacher, one thing that was really important to me was books and sharing books. And I couldn't find anything for our types of family. I thought, well, I'll have a go at writing my own. And that's how I came to be an author of kids' books.
Which was the first book that you wrote?
I actually wrote Two Dads first, and the reason why I did that was because two very close friends of mine had adopted little boy, and I just saw them together, and what I felt was there was nothing to reflect just how lovely their family setup was, and to see two men in such a loving environment was incredible, and I wanted that to be reflected. And so I messed around with some ideas, and I did the two dads book first, and then something for my boys as well, which was the two mums and a menagerie.
So you wrote the books. So then what happened next? Because I guess, you know, from my understanding and what you've just said, you didn't have any particular knowledge of the publishing industry or contacts within the publishing industry.
No, I didn't. Well, I didn't, other than the fact that I had a decent knowledge of what a good picture book was after being a primary school teacher for so long. And I think, actually, I do remember I gave it to a mutual friend who was a niche publisher, of, obviously not that niche, and he said to me, it's too niche, it won't sell. How wrong he was. He said if it was a book just about two dads or two mums, he said I could imagine it selling. But because you've mentioned adoption, I don't think it will sell as well. And actually, the adoption part was the most important bit for me, because that's what was really missing in the market. There was, you know, I wanted to celebrate our families because they are very unique. And that's why I was like, okay. He looked at my book, sat on it for about 6 months, and he said, oh, I think it's good, but I'm not sure that we can find a publishing house for it. And so I ended up setting up Sparkly Poo Publications, and I found an illustrator who was my best friend from primary school, sister-in-law. I put the book together, and then I found different ways of printing it. There's printing companies. Set up Sparkly Poo Publications.
I love the name. Where did the name Sparkly Poo come from?
Well, my youngest son, he still has this now. He's actually autistic, but he, when he was very little, he had this thing about he used to imbibe everything. He would eat absolutely everything that came his way. And so whenever I picked him up from nursery, there'd be green poos or red poos. And one day he ate a whole tub of glitter. It was just Yeah, it was incredible. So his poo was sparkly, and I just thought it was such a funny story and a funny name. So that's where it came from, sparkly poo. I've since found out though that people actually do that. You can buy capsules to. But anyway.
No. You can buy capsules to make your poo sparkly.
Allegedly so. I've since been told. That wasn't where I was going with it, obviously.
No. So you put it out yourself, which is amazing, and you create sparkly poo. When did success kind of come then? And how did it start getting noticed?
Well, really quite quickly, actually. It was quite an organic process, but it really was, I think, the first book of its kind. And when we first adopted our eldest son, it was quite in the early days of LGBT adoption. I was kind of like one of the first earlier members of, I'm sure you've heard of New Family Social.
Yes,
So I was there with Andy, who set it up. It was only like been going 2 years at that point. And so gay adoptions wasn't really a thing. And so when the book did come out, I knew loads of families straight away from New Family Social. And then it kind of just spawned, and I learned how to use Twitter. And so that it became bigger from that. And then it got into the States. And I actually went for my mum's 70th birthday. My brother and I took her to New York. And I went with armfuls of books. And I went to all the different centres I could and gave them copies and said, please review. And that was a way of getting it noticed. Then, unbelievably, I got a phone call from the BBC and saying that they wanted to feature it on the programme, which was incredible. So that's how it ended up on CBBC or CBeebies.
And was that when Will Young read the book on Bedtime Stories? And that was such a big moment in time, I remember, because, I mean, it was, you know, not too distant history, but, you know, it was such a moment for CBeebies to really show diversity within some of the output that they're putting out there for families.
Yeah, it was.
And we love Will Young.
Yeah.
So when did Two Dads get published? That was 2014.
Yeah.
So how have you, since that time, so wow, seven years ago, my maths is good, 7 years ago, how have you seen the industry change since you first published it?
There's a lot more books for our types of families, which is amazing. I don't think, you can't have enough. The issue is our families need to have the same type of representation as all other kind of like heteronormative families. I mean, why not? Why is it that you go into a classroom and see loads of books about mums and dads and that's the norm? And yet there's nothing with two dads or two mums. So now there are a lot more out there, and I think that's fantastic. I totally applaud it and think it's great. And I hope that they become kind of like well-loved classics. And kids from any background can just pick it up and look at the book and think it's kind of normal. Because now 1 in 6 adoptions in the UK is through LGBT families. So that's a huge population of children coming up.
And even regardless of the amount of families out there, you know, the fact that we as families are out there, I feel it's so important to have that representation to any child to understand that there are so many different types of families that they could encounter at any point during their life, or they could even become at some point in their life.
And children don't really judge. I've not found any judgment from the kids. It's the only judgment that's ever been about the books has always been from other adults. I mean, children are very accepting about different types of family setups. It's just normal to them.
I mean, it's been a very positive story. Have you had any challenges from people along the way? You know, you mentioned you found how to use Twitter, but that's notoriously a hideous cesspit of opinions sometimes. How have you navigated that, and have you had any
I did criticism? After the Will Young thing, there was quite a lot of trolling, actually. It got a bit nasty. There was a piece that was, because quite a lot of press pieces came out, and I'm from Leeds originally, and there was one from the Yorkshire Evening Post, and I used to work for the Yorkshire Evening Post, and it popped up underneath the comments section, really nasty comments about Will Young, about the fact that there's no way it should have been put on Bedtime Stories, and it was going to turn the nation gay, and that it was sick. And I actually wrote a conversation piece afterwards for the paper and said, look, I used to work for you, and I wrote an answer back to that. I just said all the things I wanted to say, which is, our families have got just as much right to be represented as heterosexual families. I also pointed out that, you know, a lot of adopted children are actually removed from toxic heterosexual relationships, and nobody seems to notice that that's what's going on. And I felt, yeah, quite, I'm glad I wrote that piece.
And thank you for doing so. And with schools, being a parent yourself now and seeing, I mean, have you seen a difference in the types of books that schools are representing within their classes and their libraries?
Yeah, I have generally. Usually around LGBT History Month, we often get I get a big influx of orders at that point, and often I get some really lovely pictures of displays that people have done in their classrooms and or in their nurseries. Also for Adoption Week, the same thing. Sometimes I think, oh, is it just tokenistic? Is it just for this week? But a lot of times I can see that the books are in there. I've got a lot of friends who've come across my books in the kids' libraries at school, which I think is lovely. It's really lovely.
That's really nice. So for you, what other changes would you want to see within the publishing industry to make it more diverse?
I do know that it is harder to get your stuff noticed, and the word niche is bandied around all the time, and I find that that makes it quite irritating, because actually our families aren't niche, you know, they're normal families, and I think they should open the doors a little bit more to being more diverse. And you know, the same with BAME books as well. It's about being conscious. I think schools have got to be conscious, and I think educational establishments from nurseries right to the top have got to be conscious of how they're representing the real world that we live in. And publishing houses, yeah, take some risks and start representing us in across the board. And I mean, it was great that CBeebies did what they did. I think, did they do a Todd Parr book as well? No, they did another one. I think maybe it was a family book that they did. I'd love them to do a Two Mums story as well. Pick up my Two Mums, or any of the other Two Mums books, actually. And I'd get, who would I get to read?
Yeah, I was going
to
say, who would be your ideal narrator?
Sue Perkins would be good, I think. She'd be great.
Oh, yes. Yeah,
yeah, perfect. She'd be great.
Okay, well, we're putting that out in the universe. That's out there. Bob. Sue Perkins to read Two Mums on CBeebies.
Yes.
So then what advice would you give to anybody who is in that position of wanting to put their story out there or tell a story?
I would say write it. First of all, is look at the books on your kids' bookshelf and see which ones really, really work. Some really work and others, you know, not. I've got some well-loved favourites that my kids will read over and over and over and over again. And others they read once or twice and that's them done. So it's kind of working out what the formula is for children's books. And then the other thing is just say write it and then share it with friends. I mean, I shared it with friends and tweaked it, and then I got somebody to edit it, and it sounds very simple because it's, you know, it's a very simple book, but actually every word does count when you're writing picture books, and you've got to get the flow right, and you've got to make sure the words work well and can be understood and that there's no ambiguity. So I would say do that, and then look for ways of self-publishing a good quality book, and also you can make digital copies of your books quite easily as well. So yeah, just go for it. I mean, the more, the merrier. There's just billions and billions and billions of books out there that are heteronormative. So we need as many as possible for our types of families.
Yeah. And I wanted to ask, so you've got one teenage boy.
Yeah.
And then how old's your other one?
He's 10 now.
He's 10. So I always love, especially whenever we speak to anybody on Some Families who've got older children, especially in the teenage years, what's it like having a teenager who's been adopted, and how's that kind of road been for you and your wife?
It's been, well, he's adorable. Our eldest son is just, he's just gorgeous. He's had quite a tricky road, and some can't go into any details, of course, but he's had a bit of a tricky road in terms of contact. We have always been very, very open and with life story work and all the rest of it. And I would say, because we have been very open from day one, that he's quite balanced about it and talks to us openly about his adoption. He's got lots of adopted mates. I mean, that's why New Family Social has been fantastic, in terms of we've got an incredible base of friends with similar age children. And so not being the only adopted kid, not being the only kid with two mums or two dads, has been fantastic for him. And he's really open, he's quite proud and happy. I really was worrying about the teenage years, and is he going to kind of like skulk off to his room, and is that it? Is that the end of cuddles? Is that the end of, you know? But he's brilliant. He's gorgeous. I have a lot of fun together. I've just introduced him to Schitt's Creek, which he absolutely loves. So we've been watching that as a family over lockdown. I don't believe any of the rubbish about teenagers. They're fab.
Phew. It's good to hear. I think that's always a worry for people, you know. It's a worry for myself, and I suppose it's a worry for any parent about how their child's going to get through their teenage years. But coming from it from an adoptive point of view, also coming to it from an LGBTQ plus point of view as a parent, you do think, oh, what are those years going to be like? It's always nice to hear such positives.
Yeah, he has got a good sense of who he is, and when he does ask questions and some rough stuff comes up, we are able to talk to him very openly about it. I think my biggest piece of advice is just to seek out other adopters and other gay families. I really think that's so important. I actually, when we adopted, I always thought that the common denominator for us as parents would be seeking out two mum families, and that actually hasn't been the common denominator. It's the adoption that's been the common denominator. So I've got a big breadth of friendships, but I know quite a lot of straight adopters as well, because there's things that you want to talk about which are so pertinent to your situation, whether it be contact, whether it be, you know, stuff coming up from the birth family, whether it be things to do with identity. I know my son really, really wanted to know about where he came from, your DNA. That was really important to him. Yeah. We got that for his birthday last year, actually, because he always thought he was a Viking. So, because he's very blonde hair and blue eyed. And he's just like, I just want to know more about me and where I come from. And so, because we haven't got any contact at the moment, that was massively important to him. Talking to other adopters about that, it's so important, sense of, where am I from? You know, where's my bloodline?
Makes a huge difference.
Yeah.
And so this is part of our book episode. I wanted to ask you, Carolyn, you can obviously put one of your own books in, but if you were to name one of your favourite LGBTQ plus books for children, which one would it be?
I really, really, really like, and I don't know whether they're back in print, but If I Had 1,000 Mummies... and Space Girl Pukes, they're great. If I had 100 mummies, they're really good books.
I love it. I'll look it up. And listener, we'll pop it into the show notes.
Fantastic.
Thank you for this, Carolyn. And honestly, like I said, this book has been read so many times. Like the kids, honestly, and they do quote it back saying, you know, I'm rather special because both my dads adopted me. And it's so lovely.
Well, that's why I did it. Yeah, our families need to feel affirmed. So I'm so pleased.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
It was great, Stu. So interesting. And I think it was really, really interesting how she spoke about there never being enough books about LGBTQ people, particularly families, because it's so true. Like, whenever I'm thinking, oh, maybe I'll do a children's book, something that might stop me is, for example, I saw the book you forwarded me about pirate mums, and I thought, oh, someone's written a book already about two mums. And then I was like, no, hang on a second. There are so many books about mums and dads, and you don't think straight people stop themselves from writing a book about another mum and dad, do they? Like, of course there's room for all of us.
I think it's something that's across the whole queer spectrum as well. That even if you think about our podcast, you know, Some Families was the first UK LGBTQ plus podcast. Since we launched, you know, we've had Freddie McConnell, who, spoiler alert, is coming up as a guest on this podcast, have his own podcast, Pride and Joy. There are hundreds of parenting podcasts out there. So why can't you have two queer podcasts? And where are the others? Let's have more, because it's all about celebrating and having as much representation as we possibly can. Just bringing it back to books, I feel exactly the same as you, Lottie. Like, there can't be, and as Carolyn said, there just can't be too many LGBTQ plus family books. Why not?
So back to our roving reports, and I got to chat to Gary and Gareth, who are the illustrator and the author of a new book coming out on April the 1st called My Daddies. They are both gay, adoptive dads. They're not together, just to be clear. So welcome, Gary and Gareth, to Some Families. We are delighted to have you on the podcast. Would you like to start by introducing yourselves?
Hello, my name's Gary Parsons, and I'm the illustrator of My Daddies.
Hey there, I am Gareth Peter, and I am the author of My Daddies.
We're talking to you today about this book, which is coming out on the 1st of April, and it's published by Puffin, and it's called My Daddies. And I absolutely love this book. I read it to my daughter, and then I actually gave my copy of it to Stu, my fabulous co-host, who is the adoptive dad of three kids himself, and I loved it. But could you start by telling us a bit about your families? Because I believe you were both separately adoptive fathers yourself.
It does get quite confusing with Gareth and Gary, doesn't it? There are quite a lot of similarities. But yeah, I knew I always wanted to be a dad from when I was about 15 and 16. But growing up in the 80s and 90s, I never thought it was going to be something for me. But then Section 28 got lifted, and thankfully we were able to have the discussions about starting a family and looked at the different routes. We did explore a few possible routes, but for me and especially my partner, the adoption route was what we felt was right for us. And we've actually done it twice. We've got two wonderful boys, one who is currently snuggled up in bed and other one who is deep in YouTube at the moment.
And how old are your kids now?
7 and 4.
And how old were they when they came into your family?
Roughly about 14 months each. So they were quite tiny.
Okay. And Gary, what's your family story?
My family story is really similar to Gareth's. So I have two boys, and I think we were on holiday, my partner and I, in New York, and we hired this big SUV. We were just thinking, you know, how many kids we could get in the back. And really, the whole process started from there. My eldest, we adopted him in 2012. Then we adopted another boy who was 9 months when he arrived. And that was in 2014 he came.
So how old are the kids now?
They are 11 and 8, just gone 8, yeah.
Do they get on well?
They get on as brothers would do, really, yeah. And lots of play.
Is that the same for you?
I feel my main job is not author or parent, it's referee. Listening to some of your other podcasts and talking to lots of other adopted people, I know it's not just us that have got very active and very lively boys.
Yeah, and especially in lockdown, I can imagine it's quite a stressful situation for you both. So on to the book, My Daddies. I'll just describe the front cover for people listening. It's two handsome looking, very nice looking chaps in bright coloured clothing, swinging a little toddler up in between their arms, doing what, whenever I try and do this with my daughter, my wife always tells me off and says I'm going to pull her arm out of her socket. And there's a little dog jumping around. It's a sunny day. It all looks very, very lovely and happy and idyllic. Can you tell us a bit about the book, how you two were brought together as an illustrator and author, and also where the idea came from?
I kind of fell into picture book writing in an interesting kind of way. I've always been a writer, and so I created a book about the yearning of a gay man to become a father. This was way before I'd found a life partner and even thought it could be a possibility. But I kind of put that aside, and then children came along and I was constantly reading picture books. And I thought, do you know what? I think I'm going to start writing chapter books. These Horrid Henry ones, they're quite fun. So I developed a series about my eldest going into a fantasy world. To get a little bit more knowledge, I went to a course that was half chapter books and half picture books. And actually, it was that day that completely changed everything and blew my tiny little creative mind. And I thought, why have you not done it? And I couldn't answer that question, so I started. Mm-hmm. And one of the first things I created was, it was in homage to my little lad. But of course, as you know, when you read lots of picture books, it has to be quite a lot shorter. It has to have a point. And these days it needs to have different layers to it. So that's when I kind of focused in on the main activity is fantasy coming from reading. And so it became a book about love and families, but more importantly about reading and excitement through books.
Amazing. And Gary, when did you come into the story?
I've been illustrating for quite some time. So I was on the radar of Joe Marriott at Random House. He's our key director, and he put us two together. So I've been working with him prior to meeting Gareth. So this kind of match just really seemed to work. I've spent a lot of time drawing dinosaurs that poo and all sorts of kind of
You're the dinosaur like that poops guy.
Yes, that's me.
Wow.
To illustrate something that was really close to my heart, and like, a you know, this is a true telling, this is my life really.
That must have felt really nice.
Was great. Yeah.
When I was reading the book with my daughter, we really liked the spread of the party where there's different families coming to the door, because I think there's two mums that come to the door, and sitting at the table, and my daughter was always pointing them out and saying, "Look, just like Mama and Mummy." It's just so sweet to see your family represented in children's books, because it's so rare that it happens, and we'll come onto that in a bit. So obviously, as an adoptive dad yourself, we talked about one of the spreads in the book, which is that you said was your favourite, Gareth, of the it's like the My Story book, right?
Yeah.
Which has all of the different components of the adoptive children's life before they came to you. And I feel like I might be wrong, but that's certainly the first time I've seen that kind of thing really illustrated in that detail and spoken about in that detail in a book. Did you write it for adoptive parents, or did you write it for all parents because of that sort of specific detail on the adoption process?
I mean, that's a really, really interesting question. And I've given the book to several people to take a look at. And it's always that page that gets the biggest, ah. Oh. Now, that R, as I dramatically created then, is in two layers. If you are an adoptive parent, or if you understand the adoptive journey, you know that's a life story book. And immediately, there's so much emotion and impact within that. If you don't understand what that is, the R comes from what a lovely reflection of that family, what a lovely record of that family. Look, we do those kind of things, isn't that there's lots of similarities there as well. So I think you kind of hit the nail on the head when you ask the question, is it for everybody, or is it just for, you know, gay parents? No, absolutely, it's for everybody.
Gary, can you just talk to me a bit about, in your experience as a children's picture book illustrator, you said you've been doing it for a number of years, and I'm sure you've had to illustrate all sorts of crazy things in your time, but how do you feel about representation, and particularly in terms of the families that you're asked to draw for books? Does it frustrate you that you're always drawing mums and dads, and what sort of power do you have as the illustrator to suggest changes?
I do try and, you know, slip in certain things every now and again. Generally, it's really lacking in diversity. So I think what I would really like to see in picture books is where there might be two dads represented during the story, which is completely irrelevant to what's happening.
Yeah, because it's almost like finding an Easter egg, like when you're reading a book that isn't about gay families, and you see in the background, like, oh, maybe they're two dads, or maybe they're two mums, or it's a bit ambiguous.
Absolutely. I mean, there are a few books as well. I have a couple of favourites, which are really wonderful, but there really isn't very many.
Tell us the books that you're thinking of.
Yeah, one of my favourites is Hello Sailor by Ingrid Godden, and this has been around for a while. And there's one called Perfectly Norman by Tom Percival. That's really great too. And I have to say, Julian is a Mermaid. I don't know if you know that.
Oh yeah, that's come highly recommended.
Jessica Love is fantastic. Just yeah, really beautiful. Things are moving.
Yeah, it's improving.
Definitely moving with picture books. Yeah.
This is the first time a major publisher has brought out a book in a mainstream kind of way. I mean, if you look at all these other ones that feature two daddies or same-sex relationships, a lot of them are either independently published or with smaller publishers. Puffin, Penguin Random House, is actually the number one. So this is a first.
Well, it's brilliant, and hopefully it's the first of many. I was wondering if you had the book on you, or if indeed you remembered it at all, and if you could maybe just read us a little segment towards the end so people can get a nice sense of the book.
My daddies are amazing. The world's best king and king. And story time with them will always be my favourite thing. Good night, daddies. Thank you. I love the little end picture with the children asleep and the daddies at the door.
Yeah, so just for listeners at home, the sort of very, very last page of the book is a scene that we all will know quite well, which is collapsed on the sofa at the end of the day. I don't know if they've actually got a glass of wine that you can see in the book.
There's alcohol in picture books, but...
Oh, interesting. Okay, well, that totally makes sense. Well, it's been brilliant having you on the show. Thank you so much. And the book is out on the 1st of April. So
that's right. 1st of April. Right. And it's coming out at exactly the same time in America as it is over here as well. And it's a slightly different title and a slightly different cover in America.
Ooh, what's it called in America?
Adventures with My Daddies.
Oh, interesting. We wish you all the best with the book. I'm sure it's going to be a fantastic success, and it's going to be mainstream, which is going to be brilliant and breakthrough, and so many families will discover it and learn something, and we will be changing the world one book at a time. So thank you both so much.
Amazing. And I love, Lottie, that there is an LGBTQ plus book where it is both the author and the illustrator who are adoptive gay dads. So whoop whoop for representation.
Yes, and a shout out to my best friend, even though everybody's taking the piss of me for calling him my best friend like I'm 6 years old. But my best friend, Joe Marriott at Puffin, Penguin Random House, the publisher behind the book, because he is... not only my best friend, but he is a brilliant champion of LGBTQ plus picture book literature, and he's really paving the way for some great books in the future. Watch this space, say no more, that are celebrating queer families. So thank you, Joe, for all the work you're doing for the community.
Go, Joe. So, listeners, we do hope that you've enjoyed the little chit-chat that Lottie and I have had about
book club.
Books today.
We've had our glass of Chardonnay. We've bitched about our husbands. Yeah, we've got into the books.
My parents' ruin is a nice glass of red. My favourite book companion. When I'm reading my own books, that is. Though I have been known to tuck the kids in bed holding a glass of wine whilst reading a bit of Carolyn Robertson's fine literature. We hope to do this again soon. We were also going to be doing this live, Lottie. We're actually planning a live book episode
at the Royal Albert Hall.
Yes, with one person watching, which would be your mum, bless her, Lottie. But at this amazing inclusive children's bookshop in Brixton called Roundtable Books. And if you live in Brixton and you know it, please go out and support it. I've heard it's wonderful. In our next book episode, we hope that some of you may join us in the bookshop where we can sit and have a really good natter over some wine about some more inclusive books. There are some fabulous LGBTQ plus books out there, and if you're thinking of writing one, then do, because as Carolyn said, there just cannot be enough.
Thanks for joining us for our special books episode.
If you'd like to get in touch with us, then you can send us a DM on social media. You can find us on Twitter and Instagram at Some Families Pod, or you can write us an email if you've got your own story to tell us or something lengthy that you'd like to share with us. somefamilies@storyhunter.co.uk.
We also have our website, www.somefamiliespod.com, where you can find all transcripts and all our past episodes as well.
The library is now closed. But don't forget,
reading is fundamental.
This episode was produced and edited by Hattie Moyer.
Some Families is a Story Hunter production.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.